It ends there, said Lina, looking up.
He must have noticed, said Dune. Or she was afraid he would, so she decided to hide it instead of taking it with her.
She must have hoped someone would find it.
Just as we did.
He pondered.
But we might not have, if it hadn't been for Poppy.
No, and we wouldn't have known that we came from here.
The fiery circle had moved up in the sky now, and the air was so warm that they took off their coats. Absently, Dune dug his finger into the ground, which was soft and crumbly.
But what was the disaster that happened in this place? He said. It doesn't look ruined to me.
It must have happened a long, long time ago, said Lina. I wonder if people still live here.
They sat looking out over the hills, thinking of the woman who had written in the notebook. What had her city been like? Lina wondered. Like Ember, in some way, she imagined. A city with trouble, where people argued over solutions. A dying city. But it was hard to picture a city like Ember, here in this bright, beautiful place. How could anyone have allowed such a place to be harmed?
What do we do now? Asked Lina.
She wrapped the notebook in its covering again and set it aside.
We can't go back up the river and tell them all to come here.
No, we could never make the boat go against that current.
Are we here alone then? Forever?
Maybe there's another way in. Some way that lets you walk down to Ember. Or maybe there's another river that runs the other way. We have candles now. We could cross the unknown regions if we found a way to get there.
This was the only plan they could come up with. So all day long, they searched for another way in. Under the brow of the hill, they found a hole where a stream wandered into the dark. The water was good to drink, but the hole was far too small for them to fit through. There were gullies full of shrubs, and Lina and Dune crawled among the leaves and prickly branches, but found no openings. Bugs buzzed around their ankles and past their eyes. Brown earth stained their hands, and pebbles got into their shoes. Their thick, dark, shabby clothes got all full of prickly things, and since they were much too hot anyhow, they took most of them off. They had never felt such warmth against their skin and such soft air. When the bright circle was at the top of the sky, they sat for a while in the shade of one of the tall plants on the side of the hill, in a place where the thick brush gave way to a clearing. Poppy went to sleep, but Lina and Dune sat looking out over the land. Green was everywhere, in different shades, like a huge, brilliant, gorgeous version of the overlapping carpets back in the rooms of Ember. Far away, Lina saw a narrow gray line curving like a pencil stroke across a sweep of green. She pointed this out to Dune, and both of them squinted hard at it, but it was too far away to see clearly.
Could it be a road? Said Lina.
It could, said Dune.
Maybe there are people here after all.
I hope so, said Dune. There's so much I want to know.
They were still gazing at the far-off bit of gray when they heard something moving in the brush nearby. Leaves rustled. There was a scraping, shuffling sound. They stiffened and held their breath. The shuffling paused and then started up again.
Was it a person? Should they call out?
But before they could decide what to do, a creature stepped into the clearing. It was about the same size as Poppy, only lower to the ground because it walked on four legs instead of two. Its fur was a deep rust red. Its face was a long triangle. Its ears stood up in points, and its black eyes shone. It trotted forward a few steps, absorbed in its own business. Behind it floated a thick, soft-looking tail. All at once, it saw them and stopped. Lina and Dune stayed absolutely still. So did the creature. Then it took a step toward them, paused, tilted its head a little as if to get a better look, and took another step. They could see the sheen of its fur and the glint of light in its eyes. For a long moment, they stayed like this, frozen, staring at one another. Then, unhurriedly, the creature moved away. It pushed its nose among the leaves on the ground, wandering back toward the bushes, and when it raised its head again, they saw that it was holding something in its white teeth, something round and purplish. With a last glance at them, it leapt toward the bushes, its tail sailing, and disappeared. Lina let out her breath and turned to look at Dune, whose mouth was open in astonishment. His voice shaky, he said,
"That was the most wonderful thing I have ever seen, ever in my whole life."
"Yes,
and it saw us,"
Dune said, and Lina nodded. They both felt it. They had been seen. The creature was utterly strange, not like anything they had ever known. And yet, when it looked at them, some kind of recognition passed between them.
"I know now," said Dune. "This is the world we belong in."
A few minutes later, Poppy woke up and made fretful noises, and Lina gave her the last of the peas in Dune's pack.
"What was that, do you think, in the creature's mouth?" she asked. "Would it be something we could eat? A fruit of some kind? It looked like the pictures of peaches on cans, except for the color."
They got up and poked around, and soon they came across a plant whose branches were laden with the purple fruits, about the size of small beets, only softer. Dune picked one and cut it open with his knife. There was a stone inside. Red juice ran out over his hands. Cautiously, he touched his tongue to it.
"Sweet," he said.
"If the creature can eat it, maybe we can too," said Lina. "Shall we?"
They did. Nothing had ever tasted better. Lina cut the stones out and gave chunks of the fruit to Poppy. Juice ran down their chins. When they had eaten 5 or 6 apiece, they licked their sticky fingers clean and started to explore again. They went higher up the slope they were on, wading through flowers as high as their waists, and near the top they came upon a kind of dent in the ground, as if a bit of the earth had caved in. They walked down into it, and at the end of the dent they found a crack about as tall as a person, but not nearly as wide as a door. Lina edged through it sideways and discovered a narrow tunnel.
"Send Poppy through," she called back to Dune, "and come yourself."
But it was dark inside, and Dune had to go back to where he'd left his pack to get a candle.